listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 26th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Be here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Hunter. I didn't quite turn you live in time.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Good evening, everybody.
life. Welcome to those joining us live, case in point, as well as those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight, we're going to be kind of delving into an interesting topic. It's generally mindful expansion, I noticed the title, but tonight we're going to pay a little attention to a light topic. You know, we keep it easy. We're just going to do a little quantum physics.
I'm laughing because this is a good one to tackle, I tell you. I'm not a scientist. I have a general concept, and we can go through a few points in this, but I'm going to welcome questions and chat in the in our live chat, if anybody wants to contribute, and I know Dr. Edward, Jeff, there's a number of people I know that can contribute to this too. So start us off, Michael.
Well, personally, I've had a long history of studying quantum physics. I've watched a lot of sci-fi movies and television shows that have delved deeply into this topic. But, well...
Well, let's maybe first make the distinction between quantum mechanics and quantum physics. That's a good place to start.
I suppose. I always thought that quantum mechanics was the, I guess, more appropriate and, official title for quantum physics. Is it not?
Well, quantum mechanics, it's in line with Einstein's theory of relativity, right? Mm. Where gravity, you know, electromagnetic energy, and it's good at the subatomic universe, but not for a larger universe. So the two do kind of butt heads a little bit. And, you know, science is working on it, trying to figure it out. But quantum mechanics, like the mechanics of it, is like those small, going into a really small understanding of science, I think, the mechanics of science. But we get into other quantum physics is on a larger level and how that works, like consciousness, for instance, and how energy works in non non-locality works. It kind of expands into another kind of area. So we got small, we got big.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they meet in the middle? That's the pressing question.
Right. Well, I think the most fascinating thing about quantum physics is how much it shows us how much we have to learn still. And, you know, it's the new frontier of human knowledge that we're exploring. This idea of the extreme, you know, subatomic level. And really, when you kind of get into that kind of spectrum, things become abstract. And of course, much of it's theory, but there's so much to learn and so much ahead of us that we have yet to learn. It's all very fascinating. We talk, you know, quantum computing is coming, is really going to revolutionize things. It's on the cutting edge right now. It's, you know, still largely under development. It won't be for consumer use for a long time, but I mean, think about it, the ability of a processor to do many, many hundreds of times faster processing than what we have now is really not that far away through quantum computing. Some things at that, you know, ultra micro level. And just to after the discussion of quantum mechanics and physics, Dr. Edward put it in here too. I was reading one from Wikipedia, Introduction to Quantum Mechanics. Quantum mechanics is the science of the very small. It explains the behavior of matter in interactions with energy on the scale of atoms and subatomic particles.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also heard of, read other definitions describing it in, like you had just said, Dr. Hunter, in the theory of relativity. And then Dr. Edward put in his here's the definition. Quantum mechanics is the study of atomic and subatomic particles at normal speeds, while quantum field theory is the study of those same particles at relativistic speeds. And relativity, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying sometimes it's really hard to wrap your brain around. I speak more generically than these actual terms myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my right brain can process. Well, I get the point of, you know, small particles, atomic, subatomic particles. I get that. But to me, when I go into that quantum understanding, that can explain telepathy, where you share death experience, you know, out-of-body experiences, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's kind of all in that realm. So that kind of makes sense to me, where it's how energy moves. And you're right, you know, it's at what ratio or speed is that energy moving?
Mm-hmm.
I think we use the term quantum entanglement a lot. And this is what I mean by energy. It's like thoughts. And quantum entanglement is like non-locality. It's like particles that no matter how, once they're connected, like no matter how far apart they are, they remain connected.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, like, we're all connected, but I think once we, especially when we become conscious of each other, then we remain connected. Even we would use the term, let's say, telepathic, where we have a connection. Or, you know, when you think about somebody randomly and like they may be thinking about you. And or how you just know something, but two parts remain, they remain connected. So yeah. I think that's what happens when I do readings with people. I plug in and we get connected.
Scale changes the laws of physics, which is fascinating. It's utterly fascinating. You know, in one of the things about, we kind of discussed this theory in astronomy back in the day when I was in class. But there is the notion that if, you know, we can look at the quantum level and the relativity of it, and sorry, got distracted. But we look at the relativity, and everything really is relative. So if we know that physics literally changes on the subatomic level and the quantum level, is it possible that the laws of physics change at the extreme macro level? I mean, I'm talking outside of the galaxy. Because we know our galaxy is one among billions, perhaps trillions, in a gigantic universe, you know, these strings of galaxies all coming together, massive forms. And the reason that all these theories are coming to play, this is a little bit out of quantum physics, but this is just fascinating, the fact that it seems like things are, it seems like galaxies are moving away from us faster than the speed of light based on, you know, measurements and mathematics that they've done in computer modeling, which is interesting, and they've taken it to this theory of how space is expanding, but, you know, we're talking about quantum physics a little bit more tonight. Well, it's interesting to think just for a moment on the flip side of that, if we could go beyond what we know of gravity and what we've been able to definitively, essentially prove, you know, about gravity and the laws of physics, of classical physics, we know that quantum physics changes that. If we don't have the perspective to see on the much larger macro level, but isn't it interesting to think that on the macro level, would that not also have a change, perhaps, into the laws of physics? And, you know, another thing about relativity. I was just thinking about this the other day. I was, there is a website you can go to just talking about, you know, how old are you? You put your age in, your birthday, rather. It tells you, you know, how many relative heartbeats you've had, breaths you've taken, how many times you're orbited the sun, etc. It also tells you how far the sun has rotated within the galaxy and how far the galaxy has moved within, you know, the relative universe, which makes me think, if you could travel back in time, wouldn't you just end up in a void because the Earth would no longer be there? You'd have to, how would you work that out? I don't know, just a thought that came to my mind earlier today when I was thinking about this.
But Michael's musings. I didn't know there was such a website. I'm going to have to maybe check that out. It might be too much information for my brain, but you know, I think when we're looking at energy and different parts of, like, for those, Wendy is talking about how she's studying M2, the master's course number 2. And which is largely about, you know, basics of quantum physics. And so we're kind of extracting a bit of information from that. And one of the things to consider is the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. You know, where once you observe something, it changes the outcome. And this is, again, when I equate it to daily life. When I tell somebody in a reading, I see this, this, and this, automatically the fact that you become aware of it begins to change it. I know it sounds kind of bonkers, but it's you now have an awareness. Now it's up to you what you do with that information so you can move that energy. And so it's interesting. I'm going to quote here from the study material. The more precisely the position of a particle is determined, the less precisely the momentum is known in this instant and vice versa. So,
Well, I think we might have lost Dr. Hunter. I apologize. Give me just one moment here. See, this would be a great time to have some kind of, you know, technical difficulty music going on, something along those lines. All right, and we're live, and we have Dr. Hunter back, so it's not just me. We're all saved. Okay.
I have no idea where I dropped off, but you know what where I was going with this is with the observer effect. But I was also saying you can study string theory as well, and which I'm going to read from a. Here we go. String theory is a theoretical framework in which the point-like particles of particle physics are replaced by one-dimensional objects called strings, and how these strings propagate through space and interact with each other. So to me, that's another it's really just very fascinating how we can take these concepts what I see as randomly psychic information, talking about telepathy or, you know, teleporting, non-locality. In my experiences, there's actually a scientific explanation for it. That's what fascinates me. Do I understand it all? No, but I like it that there's somebody who does.
Well, so. I will say this. I've always been fond of saying that I'm very afraid of belief. You know, people that believe things can be dangerous because that belief can lead them to do things that would override their reason, and it's caused pain in the past. But, you know, the truth is, I do put faith in things that certain people say because they've done the legwork, they've done the research. I have not. So I'm going to take their word for it, but it seems like they have things to back it up, right? But there is a certain level of faith, belief, perhaps, that you put into certain sciences and certain knowledge of humanity. But the fascinating thing about, you know, quantum physics is how it seems like it almost goes beyond time and physical space, and it goes into the abstract. It makes me think of what possibly could exist after the physical existence.
Mm.
Just random musings. But
something else I'd just like to go over, even segment two in M2 goes over the easy problem of consciousness, which is basically the brain and the functions of the brain. You know, we can grasp that concept pretty easy. But the hard problem of consciousness is those subjective experiences of the mind, you know, and that this subjectivity or the other esoteric kinds of experiences that we have. And the other part of that segment describes qualia, which means it's just your experience. It's like how you happened in your own consciousness. So it's I have my experience as qualia. So you're qualifying something by your own, you know, your own perception.
Right.
So it's and non-locality, action at a distance, you know, and the nature of consciousness. So, I mean, this is where the discussion, thank you, Edward, for saying I don't think even scientists fully understand these things. It's true. But, and even, you know, I'm just going to move on for a minute here in segment three, holographic universes. Now, all of the information is contained in a part. So you can have a bazillion parts, but all the information of those bazillion parts is within each part. And that's the holographic universe, how to create holographs, which to me is, whoa, you know, that's a fascinating whole subject, you know.
The notion of the simulation?
Yeah, exactly. And how we are now taking that into the precipice of that into other, just in our daily lives. Like, mm-hmm. You can go to a concert now and it's somebody who's in a holograph, a holographic image. I mean, that's craziness, you know?
It is.
And it seems all 3D. It's like so Star Trek to me. But again, that's, I wanted to bring up some of those points that come out of M2.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Wendy, if you have any questions, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about M2, but if you have any questions so far in that, please, this is a great time to, throw it into the chat here. Jeff is saying it's a good refresher. He's not thought of this in a long time. Jeff has been a graduate of the school for a long time, so you're right, Jeff. It's a good refresher even for me. So the whole notion of quantum physics entails like this whole big, sphere of exploration, as I see it. So, Michael?
What's that?
And by the way, everybody, I was just going to say if you wanted to inject anything. Sorry about the drop-off, everybody. I didn't touch a thing from my end. I just want to make that point.
I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, I didn't touch anything.
A glitch in the matrix and the giant simulation that we're in. You know, well, I guess the only thing that I was thinking on that I might add to that is just thinking about how quantum physics and our growing understanding of it is going to change our awareness of existence. And what is metaphysics is not, if it is the attempt to understand awareness and what it is to exist in reality. And we're going to have a deeper understanding of that. And I'm very excited about that. Quantum computing is a fascinating and terrifying thing because it may inevitably lead to what could be true AI. And based on my theory and philosophy that consciousness is ultimately awareness, sensory input, and an ability to have a memory of that, I think it's possible, which is going to raise a slew of ethical questions. You know, if it's something is truly self-aware and sentient, it raises the question of, do they not have rights for self-determination? At which, you know, it brings up a lot of ethical issues, but it also brings up a whole new world, and it also lends credence to the notion of potentially existing in a simulation or a holographic world, as you say, because technology will continue to multiply upon itself. We're not, you know, theoretically, the human race is not going to die out. We still have thousands of years of development ahead of us. What is technology going to look like then? What would we be capable of then? What does that mean something else might be capable of somewhere else? And what does it really matter? Because ultimately, we're still just living our lives. Whatever, you know, as they say in Buddhism, what comes before did not matter. What comes after does not matter. What matters is the here and now and how we have lived this life, or at least one story of the Buddha.
Well, you see, and I, even when you're talking about technology and artificial intelligence, I wonder then how the first law of thermodynamics plays in. I know it sounds strange, but I think about that because the survival hypothesis, if I can say that right, it's really about the law of the conservation of energy. We're creating an energy, and that energy continually changes. So, and that's what I believe our soul or our spirit is. It's, and that's where our consciousness connects with. Like there's some kind of universal energy that kind of fragments into the body that creates our mind, like a unique experience on the earth. But once, you know, that energy leaves the body, you know, it is somewhere else. But I think the same can be said for energy that is existent within all things on Earth. It all has an energy. Even technology, even though we see it as, you know, a lower frequency and not necessarily conscious, I don't know as we can determine whether or not it's creating its own kind of energy frequencies that, you know where I'm going with this, Michael?
Yeah.
We're creating new kinds of energies at,
well, it's,
at different levels.
It's the entanglement. It's the fact that things change under observation and with intention. It's that there is more to this existence than what meets the eye. And I don't mean that in just a vague kind of, you know, you can wish anything into existence if you want, but there is a deeper level of meaning to this world that we don't fully understand in the scientific way yet. And to your credit, I think, you know, that's where, you know, some legitimate cases of those kind of just things you can't explain when it comes to just intuition and knowing things and having that, you know, thinking about somebody before they call that kind of entanglement. How much will we know as our understanding of quantum physics and mechanics continues and develops? How we understand entanglement, how we understand reality on a deeper fundamental level. It's going to change the way that society exists.
Well, although we wouldn't necessarily know it by watching the news these days, but we are waking up. I say that with tongue in cheek, really. We are a fast growing species on the earth, and our consciousness is expanding. We're becoming much more aware. You know, there was things that I would talk to people about 30, 40 years ago, and I was called every name, including a conspiracy theorist. But now people are quite awake to it, and they're looking at me and saying, "Well, did you know?" And I'm going, "Oh, gee, I hadn't thought about that." I just kind of let it go. But it's to be awake to life and the mechanisms of how we're creating the earth, how we're creating the world that we're living in, and more importantly, how we are each creating ourselves. Because it's not just what we're learning. You know, we learn and we create. It's what we do with that is a creation. So I'm in the constant creation of myself. And in some weird kind of way, that's a quantum experience. You know, because what's happening in is also happening outside. What's happening outside also influences the inside. We've talked about that before, especially with epigenetic memory and such. You know, how we have all this information in the body, which then makes me, you know, think about how much are we a hologram, you know. But it's, and I know there's been a comment in here about, you know, we're living a simulation. You know, I think it really is about the perception. The more objective you are, and my late teacher Frank would say, you know, we're as objective as our subjectivity will allow.
True.
You know, because it's, again, that qualia, right? Everything is through our own eyes. So I'm trying to be as objective as,
is everything, you know.
Absolutely. So I think what we want to do as metaphysicians and evolving people is to continue to be really grounded and sensible about things, and at the same time be really tapped into our spirituality and that consciousness that we are more than this, you know, physical body. There is something greater going on.
Well, there's something, exactly, there's something greater to the to existence. Again, you know, we talked about it, I think, last week, but, you know, what is the drive to evolution? What is the drive to life wanting to live in the first place? What drives it? There's something, you know, there's something just more at play. You know, I've always had a thought experiment, just a fun thing. What if we exist in an abstract existence without time, right? We just are. We're beings that we, you know, exist. We think we just, life would be utterly different. If you existed in that fashion, would it not be almost a sort of vacation to live as an entity that knows a mortal existence, that knows a finite existence and a time frame? That's how it would change things. It would almost be like a we were joking about it in chat a little bit earlier too. Hatra threw it into joke about just being boring, and I chipped in with it to be basically somebody watching me watching TV. But nonetheless, I mean, if you are a being that does not know time, 100 years, 1,000 years, hey, it's nothing. I've always existed and always will exist. It doesn't matter how long it is. There have been pop culture shows that have, you know, touched on this topic too, so it's not exactly an original idea. But and you know, speaking of conspiracies, I'm glad that, you know, now that we have your attention, we can really kind of delve into the truth of the matter, and that's the lizard people live in the center of the earth, and that's what quantum physics is really going to reveal. No, I'm sorry, I'm kidding. No, that's wrong. That's all wrong. But it's just interesting in that. It's such a great quantum physics is such a great example of how much we don't know and how much we have yet to learn and how things could tie together. And this has just been a fascinating topic that, you know, frankly, I wish I could have delved more into it. I was, you know, kind of bebopping around the internet looking at different articles here and there yesterday and today and just thinking about different things. But it just I would be ill-suited to try to replicate the explanations that I've heard and read. It's truly a complex and a fascinating topic, and really is the cutting edge.
It is. And again, I'm happy to see that, you know, I'm still here on the planet and seeing science start to validate some of the thoughts that I've had or conversations I've had with some really extraordinary people over the years, you know, because we have a theory. You know, and that possible theory, and now that's being proven to some degree. And that's exciting because we're asking questions. I have to say this, Audra, I just love your question in the chat. Does anything exist if you aren't here to see it?
Well,
you know, again, that's perception of reality, right? Everything, I mean, just because I don't live there doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means it exists for those people and not for me. That's why we each have our own belief systems and our own perception. If you're living in the bush somewhere in, let's say, the northern Yukon, and kind of oblivious to the rest of the world, then what affects you, or how does it? Well, you know, I mean, if mining companies come in and other oil companies, that's going to affect you and you become aware of it. Did it exist before over somewhere else? Mm-hmm. You know, but to you in your reality while you're living in that isolation, you know, what you have there is your reality. So it just because I don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist somewhere.
You know? I
happen to think that if you can think it, it does exist somewhere, you know?
Well, absolutely. Well, that's we live in an infinite existence. I mean, even what we know, the numbers that we could throw out of the known universe are still ultimately beyond human comprehension. We can mathematically get there, but to truly conceive of that many galaxies with that many stars, with that many planets and potential life forms, it's beyond our ability at this point. I'm hoping that we're going to continue to develop and someday we'll be able to comprehend it, but it is beyond our comprehension now. And that is the finite known universe. Think about the infinite unknown and what becomes possible then. You say if you think it might happen somewhere. I think if you think it has happened somewhere, because everything ultimately will have happened in an infinite existence. And it's just truly remarkable. And I would say to some, people get insecure because it makes them feel small that we live in an infinite existence and we're no longer the center of things. But I would say instead, embrace the curiosity, embrace the wider existence that we're part of, and understand that, we don't know, we don't know most of things. So we don't know what comes after. We don't really know what's going on here with consciousness and with life, and it's going to be a lot of fascinating things ahead. So if we can get there.
If I can just inject here, Heather says, I've always heard that if you visualize it, it will materialize. And, you know, I am totally on board with projecting for what you want and your energy, but it happens at very many layers. It's everybody has their own ride in life. Mm-hmm. I think that we have to be careful about privileged thinking in metaphysics. And I caution people about that. If you're living in a poverty-stricken, you know, area of the planet, and you're wishing for a mansion, the odds mathematically are against you. So it's visualizing within your frequency of reality. And I'm not saying that people can't rise above. Suddenly you pluck somebody out of poverty and, you know, they're making $1 billion. It's possible, but the odds of that are very slim. So it's an acceptance of your ride in life and creating within that frequency. So it's knowing that your life journey, your life path is largely what it is, and you're creating within that frame. And again, I'm not saying you can't jump out of that frame, but it's generally, because otherwise I'd have won the lotto. That's all I got to say about it. You know, we'd all have that. So Angie says she was thinking of something similar. People living in remote areas of the world and villages holding man-made weapons, you know, exactly. So we have to think of it as relative to one's reality. And again, back to that perception of reality. Generally, though, somebody who's living in poverty is not wishing for a mansion. Mm-hmm. They don't even know about mansions. They're hoping for running water or, you know, something else that we would think as, oh, that's rather primitive. But in actuality, that's luxury for them. So reality is relative. So we're doing is exploring all those possibilities.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that we put our focus into something. We align our actions, behaviors, thoughts, energy towards that thing. It will become easier and come within reach. But then again, we also live in a world where we are not the only ones trying to influence things and the only ones vying for different opportunities, you know? So it is a complicated world. But even at the most basic level, if you focus on what you want instead of what you don't, not only will you be happier, you will be more likely to achieve your goals. And,
well, I think when we worry about what we don't have and what can go wrong is when it trips up what we want. Mm-hmm. And I have the same dilemma as everybody else. We're all learning this. We're all on the pathway of learning how to manifest and create in our lives and expanding our consciousness at the same time. So, this is like such a wild conversation. I love it.
Well, I was going to try to wrap it up like 5 minutes ago to go to cards, but it just kept thinking of things to say. But so
we do have people in the chat for cards.
All right. So, and are we going to follow our tradition of late?
Let's do that, shall we? We're going to do a inner oracle card and then self-discovery cards and then followed up by I've got my tarot fanned out across my table, and we'll just do a tarot support card.
All
so
right.
I think we have Dr. Jeff is up first.
All right, and first card for Dr. Jeff is wild card number one, paradox.
Oh, gee. it's always a mystery.
Classic. You got to say one of my favorites, too. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Well, Jeff, I pulled the Eight of Spades, Eight of Swords, in support of the paradox. And I always call this one of the back cards. You know, a lot of people look and they say, oh, that's negative. I don't. I see it as opening intuition. You only have your sensors, your instincts, your, that other inner thought to move the energy. So I'm going to say that tap in to your intuition to know what step to move forward, you know, because from paradox, it's all things are, but what do you want to create? So follow your gut. Absolutely follow your gut. So.
All right. I believe we have.
I hope that helps. Dr. Edward.
All right.
I think. Yep.
And as always, as I like to do from week to week, trying to focus on pulling a card that Dr. Edward's not gotten before. All right. Number six, boundaries. I think I've seen it come up, but all right. Still a good card. Sorry, bear with me just one moment. Many apologies. Dead air. You can't have dead air when you're doing a radio broadcast.
And you got it there, Michael?
I got it.
We're good? Okay.
We're good. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Now, Edward, I got the Four of Clubs in support of that, Four of Wands in tarot language. Hmm. And that to me is about commitments, promises. And so I think what it's saying here is staying within a framework, you know, being true to yourself and certainly following through on commitment, but understanding that there's also boundaries within any kind of promise or obligation that you've made or that you're in. So, you know, if nothing else, it's a good little reminder, you know.
All right.
We have
Heather. Just for those listening, I think we're having a bit of a slow connection with you, Dr. Unge. So we can hear you, but it's coming in a little bit broken up. But I could still hear you and completely understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But let's see. All right. Yep, we have Heather next. And sorry about that earlier. The book had fallen off my desk here. I had to mute myself while I got up and got it. But Heather, all right. Pull a card here. Ah, great. Another wild card. This is wild card number 3, blocks.
Blocks.
Ah, that's much better. Crystal clear. All right. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
Well, in support of that, Heather, I've got justice. And I see that as fairness, equitability. So if you feel like something's in the way, maybe check in with what you think is fair, what seems to be just, and look at the balance of things. I think that that's really what that reminder is. Just keep in balance. I think that's interesting, actually.
It is interesting.
So Wendy is up next.
All right, Wendy. And if anybody would like, they can blame Wendy for my ramblings this evening on quantum physics. It was her idea. All right, Wendy. Pulling from the middle of the deck, I have Sacred Obligations, number 31. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
In support of that, Wendy, I have the Six of Clubs. I love that. It's like time to celebrate. And celebrating yourself. And I think in support of sacred obligations, essentially I see the Six as having come through a change, and like you're coming home now to yourself, and it is time to celebrate that. So I would say just push the pause button for a moment, pat yourself on the back, and say, I did good. We're good. That's the message I get there for you.
All right.
Now, Bridget, good to see you back, Bridget. I hope your health continues to improve. Like I say, it's really awesome to have you here. Michael, if you would choose a card for Bridget, work on the tarot.
Absolutely. Very happy to see you back. And, of course, we hope that you continue to get better. I've been catching up on the chat a little bit, and just very glad you could join us tonight. So, Bridget, for you, I pulled number 17, Reinvention.
Whoa, that's awesome.
All right. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, I love this for you, Bridget, the Eight of Clubs. Now, very often people think of that as a hasty card or something of really quick action. I see it as one where knowing when to move forward and knowing when to hold back. But when you're on it, you're really on it, and things will go really quickly for you. You know, one of the things that I'm inclined to say is once you know what you're dealing with in reinvention, then you can give power to that. It's when we don't know and we're vague and we're confused that we don't know kind of what step to take next. I feel like you're on it. You've got things pretty good in focus, and I think that this life is going to move a lot faster for you now. So good for you. Congratulations. It's been a hard ride for you, I know. Moving on, I think we have Audra is the last one, if I have this right. So
I believe you're correct. So if we're wrong, please throw your name in chat. And, yeah. You know, feel free to berate us for not seeing you at first. But all right. So Audra, shuffling, pulling from the middle. Number 38, open-mindedness.
Oh, good.
An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, in support of that, Audra, I got the Sun. I love this because with an open mind, life is like being reborn for you. You're opening a new reality in a way is what I'm seeing. And so new life is assured, a new day is assured, and it's just continue to go as you are, keeping open to other possibilities. And I don't know, my sense here, sometimes, you know, even I have to suck it up and say, you know what, I don't believe in that anymore. Or I just kind of shift and say, it used to work for me, it doesn't work for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that just changes everything. Once you acknowledge it, it moves. It's a super, and it's a relief too, I might add. So there we go. Well, I hope that we do have everybody. And again, we really want to send you a lot of, if everybody would join me in this very moment, sending Bridget a lot of white light and energy her way and recovering in her health. And again, we're so glad to have you back, Bridget. What a good crowd tonight. Thank you very much for everybody joining us. Great.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And, you know, that's why I always encourage people that listen into the archives. I encourage you to go ahead and try joining us on the live broadcast because you do get that kind of interactive atmosphere. It makes the broadcast better, makes the topics better, makes us better. So thank you all for joining us. And, you know, fascinating topic tonight. There's no shortage of things to go into, but you know, we went over a lot about quantum physics, mechanics, computing, the brave new world that we're entering. It's an exciting time. Well, it's always been an exciting time to be alive, but I'll say it's an exciting time to be alive now. We're on the precipice of great discoveries.
Yes.
And, you know, again, if anybody has ideas on things they'd like to discuss, topics, etc., send them in. We're here to talk about things that interest you and interest us. This is about our exploration of curiosity in the world around us. Now, I believe next week, Dr. Hunter, if I'm not mistaken,
you are
going to be on vacay.
I am so. I'm taking a week away with my family. I'm going MIA, no computer. I'm going to love it. I know that sounds
best way to do it.
A lot of people say, oh, that's a really foreign thing. You what? I love not being attached to stuff. Although, you know, you got to have your phone and stuff, whatever. But,
we're going to have a
having a little family reunion getaway, and I'm looking forward to it. So I believe Dr. Kelly is joining you next week.
That is correct. That is correct. Otherwise, you'd have to just listen to me ramble on, which I could do. I'll have a conversation with myself, just you watch. But next week, Dr. Kelly's joining us, and I don't know. I believe he already has a topic, and he has something he's working on. I don't have it. Let's see. Nope, I don't have it yet, but looking forward to it. It's going to be a great discussion, as it always is. Of course, we're going to miss having you here, but you'll be back the week after.
I will so. Be back in a couple of weeks.
All right. So, well, I'm looking forward to everybody joining us next week. Join us the week after, and then the week after, and the week after, and the week after. And until next time, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.